Have you ever been doing something and you're trying to do your best at it and you kind of like stand back from your work and look at it, you're like, man, no one's ever going to see this. And you had that struggle inside of you where you think, man, should I really just keep trying to do a good job at this thing? Or should I just let it slide? No one's going to notice. No one's ever going to know. It's not that big a deal. And I just don't feel like doing this anymore. I don't feel like putting in all this effort that I put in. Well, I want to talk to you today about the idea of excellence and how that, regardless of what we feel like might be the case and what we think people might see or not see, that inevitably those people who always do things with excellence come out on top over those who do not, who try to slip by with bare minimums. Hi, I'm Pastor Will, and this is the For Real Life and Godliness podcast, the podcast that takes the Word of God and puts it down into the grit of your real life where you can actually use it. Today, we're going to talk about the idea of being faithful in the little things, in the things that no one can see, or you think maybe, possibly, no one will ever see. We'll be right back after this. So back in our first episode, we talked about the idea of the sacrament of living out of A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. And we talked about how every single thing that we do can be seen as a holy act if it is done in the proper way, if it's doing it for God. And we came from the verses in Colossians that says, whatsoever you do in word and or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And later on down a couple more verses, whatsoever you do, do it heartily or with all of your heart as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 22 says, not as men pleasers, or he says, not with eye service, but do it all as though you are doing it for God. And here, not just that. From those verses we took in the first episode, that the most menial little doodad things we do every day, like eating and drinking, can be done in a manner that pleases God. They can be acceptable to God. They can be acceptable modes of worship to God. He says, do it all like you're doing it for God. And there's in Corinthians, it says it again in a couple other places we looked at. But here, the idea I want to bring out is that we ought to strive at all times to do our best, not because we believe that somehow, some way, we're going to get paid back for it here and necessarily, or that we, in really this case, and this is what I want to say, that we should not only do things with excellence because we think someone else here is going to see it, and that we should always do things with excellence as a mode of living, because no matter what we do, we are doing it for God. And so if we do a sloppy job and nobody notices, we're still doing that job for God, and He will obviously notice. And so essentially, He's going to hold us responsible for things that even if they're not seen by anyone, even if they're not seen by anyone, that they're going to come out in the end to be an issue between Him and us, because He's given us certain tasks to do. And whether they're seen or unseen, whether they're in the dark, as we like to say, or they're in the light, whether they're, nobody takes any kind of notice or not, we are to do them with excellence. A few weeks ago, and I'm actually going to post this this talk I gave a few months back at Gardner Webb, where I sat down with some of the leaders from a group in that school that goes and helps at different churches, and we were talking about servant leadership, basically, and serving, and those kind of things. And one of them said that one of their biggest problems was doing things that maybe no one else sees and nobody else ever really pays attention to. And she brought up the idea of washing windows. And she said she was at a house, I guess they're at a house cleaning it up for somebody, and she's there washing windows. And it just occurred to her, man, what in the world am I even doing? Is this service? Is this service for God? Is this helping anybody? Who cares if the windows don't get exactly clean, or I don't do my best at this job? And I told her, I was like, those are the kinds of things that nobody notices. They go unnoticed. until they're not done. And regardless of whether we get pats on the backs or not, regardless of whether people do ever see it or ever pay attention and thank us or anything, we ought to still do what we're given to do with excellence. And this story I wrote out, it's on my Twitter. You can go there, or my X, I guess, at this point. You can go and find it. I made it in March of last year, so right before my birthday. It was March 3rd of last year. And I titled it The Pursuit of Excellence, and it was a thread, and it talked about the reason why we need to put excellence into everything that we do. And it comes from the story of the Statue of Liberty. And in 1870, that year, the guy who designed the Statue of Liberty, I can't pronounce his name. I think his last name is Bartholdi. I may have said that, probably slaughtered that. But he designed the Statue of Liberty in 1870, okay? And 1903 was when the Wright brothers completed the first powered flight. And you might think, what in the world do those two things have to do with each other? And so I said, well, let me tell you. Before the Wright brothers flew their flyer across the sands of Kitty Hawk, powered flight was a fool's dream. Yet 11 years later, the first commercial flight would take off from St. Petersburg to Tampa. Public air travel was born, and the world changed forever. In 1870, now just keep in mind where we're going here, because you might be asking why and what does the Statue of Liberty, what is the Wright brothers, what does commercial airliners have anything to do with excellence? What are you talking about? Well, just stay with me for a second. Remember that the dude who designed the Statue of Liberty, they did it in 1870. Powered flight was not found until 1903. And then it was going to be 1914, I guess, when the first commercial flights began to fly. In 1870, this is the point, when Bartholdi began to design the Statue of Liberty, the American Civil War had just ended. Slavery had just recently been abolished. America was in Reconstruction. No one had powered flight on their mind, let alone commercial airliners constantly flying overhead. Stick with me here. If you are to fly into LaGuardia or JFK airports today, you may get a nice view of the boroughs, the harbor, and the good old Statue of Liberty. And if you have a really keen eye, or maybe a set of binoculars, or you zoom in with your iPhone, you would notice something spectacular. You would see one of the best object lessons of pursuing excellence. The lady's hair is all in place. And you may think, dude, what are you talking about? Bartholdi was designing a 305-foot statue in an age where powered flight, commercial, recreational, or whatever, was not possible, right? There was no reason for Bartholdi, I should have figured out how to actually say his name, to consider anyone would ever see the top of his masterpiece. Yet, he completed the details and design of the statue's hair, its every strand, knowing in his mind that it would never be seen by anyone. The pursuit of excellence is an internal drive to perform at one's best regardless of who sees it. And it will pay off. In the end, it is the commitment to one's self, and in our case, is a commitment to our Creator to follow through everything we do with excellence, regardless of what we think may or may not happen in the future as far as people seeing it. Because regardless of fanfare and praise, your work will be complete to the best of your ability. The Wright brothers themselves practiced the same spirit as they pursued the fool's dream of powered flight. They worked in the darkness when nobody believed that that could even happen, and then they became the first in history to do so. Today, the work of these men crossed paths in the most unexpected and extraordinary way. And obviously, as I said in the story, the guy who designed Statue of Liberty never should have had the thought that anybody would ever see it, because the idea of someone flying over the head of the Statue of Liberty would never have crossed into his mind, because that was not even a thing. It was an idea, especially not commercial flight, right? And yet today, commercial flights fly over the top of the Statue of Liberty. And because he completed it, he could have just said, well, no one will ever see it. Let's just make the top of the Statue of Liberty flat. Let's make it just completely smooth. We'll put a head there, but we just make it smooth. We don't do the details. But if you look at the head of the statue, it has hair strands, it has the crown, and it is complete. It is complete. It was completed in a time when the guy had no expectation of anyone ever viewing his completed work on top of old Lady Liberty's head. And so he completed his work with excellence, knowing no one would ever see it, in quotation marks, for those who are listening. And yet, in the end, he was found out. And had he not done his job with excellence, and he just said, I'm going to take a shortcut because no one will ever know that the top of this statue is not done, then all of us would know today, and it would be a lesson of the opposite sort, showing that if you think that no one will ever see your work, one day somebody will. And these guys, really, their paths cross in the sense that they both pursued what they're trying to do with excellence, in the Wright brothers' case, against all odds of people believing that they could do what they wanted to do. But in the case of Bartholdi, that he did something even when he didn't have to do it. He just worked with excellence. If you only explore your potential, I wrote, in the sight of approval, you will never be seen in the light of greatness. When you push back your chair, place your hammer down, or lay your pen aside, you should say, I gave it my all. No one leaves a legacy living in the light of approval. You got to give your best in the darkness of today when no one can see, even if there's no expectation that anyone will ever see. We must live and give our best and live with excellence no matter what. I wrote, you must give your best in the darkness of today, and the world will see your excellence in the light of tomorrow. And this is essentially what's going on here. Regardless of what happens here, what we do will be seen at least by God. And there is no greater judge of our work. There's no greater audience for us to do our work for. And you got to think, man, I could be building a project. I could be working on the side of a building still, cutting stucco off like I used to do back in Florida, or I could be running a job site or calling this guy or that guy or whatever. And no matter what I'm doing, it's as if I am presenting to God my work every day. And I need to be aware, because in private, it is easy to slack off and to do things that you don't, you know, you just do not do the things that you should be doing, because no one's watching you. No one sees. No one is overseeing you. And in Proverbs, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, who has no guide or overseer, still does what she needs to do to provide her food in the winter. And he says, look at that. He says, she doesn't need someone to tell her to do her job and to do it with excellence and to do it. She knows she needs to complete the task. And here in Colossians, it says, hey, do everything you're doing as though you're presenting it to God, because you are. And that's what the whole push of this podcast is, that your real life is an offering to God in every place, at home, at church, in work, everything, every part of your real everyday on earth life is an offering to God, and whether it's acceptable or not is dictated by whether you put into practice the principle we just said today, which is living with excellence even though no one may ever see it, knowing that I am offering those kind of things to God. That's what the word says. And so if you may be in a place where you feel like no one sees what I'm doing, do it with excellence anyways. One, God will see. But two, I promise you that your work ethic, who you are, will not go unnoticed. It may go unnoticed for a certain amount of time. It may go unnoticed for a couple years. In Bartholdi's case, it went unnoticed for probably 40 to 50 years. The kind of excellence and detail he put into the head, the top of the head of his statue, which was delivered across the sea and put together in some other place where, you know, even if someone were to ever find out, it's not like they're going to come over to France and find him, you know, and he just did what every good artist and workman does. And that is put excellence into their work, no matter who is going to see it. And that's what you have to do if you want to be an acceptable offering to God in your everyday life. As we said in episode one, if you haven't listened to it, you need to go back and listen to it. I'll link it up here. But if you want to be a life lived as an offering in every single aspect of your life, you have to live your life, no matter what, with a determined mindset that I will do things with excellence always. And that's a lesson I teach my girls. I talk to them all the time. I'll be like, what do Mercers want to be known for? You know, to kind of make it a thing for us. And I haven't done it so much that they know every time, but they most of the time get it. And I'll say, what do we want to be known for? And she's like, excellence always. And that's what I say to them. Excellence always in your work. Excellence always in your chores, in keeping your room clean and doing this and doing that and doing the things that we require them to do as part of our team, our family, this group. You know, this is our team. I told them the other night, like, we are a team. We work together. We get things done. We enjoy things together. We suffer through things together, where we are together, we're a team, and each one of us have part of this whole shenanigan that we're doing here, this whole mode of life that we're in, and each of us need to do it with excellence. And I say, Mercers do things with excellence always. And that's what you should do. Every single one of us should live with that mindset that I'm going to invest excellence always, regardless of who I think might ever see or not see it. That's today's For Real Life and Godliness podcast. It's a little bit shorter than most of them, but I just wanted to throw out this quick thought before I head out on vacation for a day or two, take my kids to the zoo and the aquarium and all that good stuff. We're going to take them on a little trip, and I needed to get this out quick on a Thursday night for you guys on Tuesday morning. And I hope you like it. If it's helped you, it might help someone else. So share it with those people that you think it might help. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and hit the like button and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of our next new episodes. You can go back and listen to a lot of the other ones. I believe it's really good content, and not just because I made it, but because I made it. But, and I do things with excellence, so I feel like you will appreciate most of them. Some of them I know I can look back and be like, I probably could have done better on that, but I'm learning and I'm growing, and I think you'll enjoy them. So go back there, take a look at what we've done in the past already. If you're on Spotify and podcast, go ahead and rate us highly. Add us to your favorites, your playlist, subscribe, all that good stuff. So we will see you on the next one. I am Pastor Will, your host, and this has been the For Real Life and Godliness podcast. We'll see you around.